By now, many of you will have seen that US Soccer signed their new media rights deal with Warner Media, which has its sports coverage anchored by Turner. So right now we're joined by Christopher Harris and Kartik Krishna. We're going to break down the deal and what it means going forward for US Soccer. So Chris, I'm going to start with you. You were one of the first ones to know about the deal. Can you just kind of give everybody a brief rundown of what it means and kind of the ins and outs of the deal for US Soccer?
Sure, definitely. And probably Kartik can go into a little bit more detail too, but essentially, the deal that we have in place right now was from 2015 to 2022. So this is the final year of the deal with Fox Sports, Univision, and ESPN for rights to the U.S. men's national team games, U.S. women's national team games, as well as Major League Soccer. Well, this year it's different because Soccer United Marketing and U.S. Soccer made the decision to basically the split, to not partner anymore. So Major League Soccer for 2023 onwards will have its own TV deal. And US Soccer now today, with the announcement, has its own TV deal. And this TV deal and streaming deal is with Warner Media. So for 2023 onwards, if you're gonna be watching US men's national team games and the women, She Believes Cup, US Open Cup, et cetera, these games will be on Warner Media, which encompasses quite a large number of different broadcasters, Turner Sports as kind of the sports side of things, but TNT, TBS. On the streaming side, you have HBO Max. You also have Bleacher Report. And also in the works right now too, which should be finalized by April, is the merger between Warner Media, which is owned by AT&T, and Discovery. And Discovery brings its own streaming service called Discovery Plus, which is a paid streaming service. And Discovery has a whole arsenal of its own TV properties too. So this mega merger and the timing of this deal is perfect for US soccer from 2023 onwards.
Kartik, what are your initial reactions to this deal between Warner Media and US soccer?
Yeah, I think it's great that U.S. Soccer has broken out on their own. They've identified a partner that they believe will best exemplify their values and also, in reality, give them maybe more dedicated coverage than the bundle with MLS via Soccer United Marketing has done for years, which has put them on Fox and ESPN now for the better part of the last two decades. There was a three-year period where they were not on Fox, and they've been on ESPN the whole period, but a three-year period where they were on NBC instead of Fox when Soccer United Marketing did an MLS deal with NBC and ESPN for that series of years rather than with ESPN and Fox. I think Turner of Warner Media brings a wealth of experience. There was real concern among many fans about the clunkiness, and I think we would all agree the poor coverage of UEFA Champions League that we saw on TNT and on Bleacher Report Live, BR Live, for many years. But the Discovery merger, which Chris mentioned, I think is very, very important in this picture, because Discovery, this may not be known to American audiences, but Discovery has a long history of broadcasting soccer in Europe on their various channels with their various properties in Europe. They also, by the way, Discovery also, their founding family, the Hendrick family, also have been very involved in soccer in this country in terms of on the financial side, ownership side. And Turner also broadcast the Women's Soccer League, which the Hendrick family, Discovery, were owners in many years ago. So there are some synergies here. And I think for me, the most important thing is I think the dedicated coverage. We have seen too often, as much as we all love ESPN's coverage, and I think most of us tend to agree, ESPN, their entire package and how they cover soccer, the production levels, the personalities, the format is probably the best in the U.S. media landscape. But in terms of U.S. men's and national teams, men's and women's national teams specifically, they have shoehorned matches in between other sports. They have not given complete pregame coverage. They've aired matches at odd time slots, right? And it's just, it felt like a leftover property for them, quite frankly. And in terms of Fox, I think there's a lot of just general angst about the way Fox covers soccer among fans. So that, in addition to, I need to mention the U.S. Open Cup is part of this deal that has been made with Warner Media. That's really exciting for a lot of us who are advocates for that tournament, have been involved in lower division soccer, getting a broadcast partner that very likely will air those matches in a more aggressive fashion and promote those matches in a more progressive fashion than ESPN has and previous rights holders, Gold TV, etc.
Chris, we talked previously about when the Premier League signed their rights with NBC that Major League Soccer was going to be the next major rights deal, but here we are talking about U.S. Soccer has their next media rights deal. So is there any kind of concern that this raises for Major League Soccer, or anything that MLS President Don Garber can kind of take away from this, or anything, any kind of implications for Major League Soccer out of this?
Yeah, it's a good question, because it's interesting that U.S. Soccer gets their deal done before Major League Soccer. And in many ways, in a lot of people's minds, myself included too, is that MLS and U.S. Soccer joined at the hip. It's hard not to think about MLS when you think about U.S. Soccer and vice versa. So in some ways, I mean, this deal is a lot less complicated than the MLS deal. The MLS deal has so many different components in terms of everything from Leagues Cup, which is the tournament with Liga MX, as well as MLS Next Pro, as well as local rights, as well as national rights, streaming rights. It's a lot more complicated and a lot more games. And also, I think in many ways too, it's a lot more of a focus for Major League Soccer. They will want to get every single dollar out of this next TV deal. And US Soccer too, of course, they'll want to get a handsome amount of money from Warner Media. But for Major League Soccer, they really need to get a major, major deal on this one. So I think in some ways, I with US Soccer getting the deal done first, is not a negative at all for MLS. If anything, it's just that the deal is simpler on the US Soccer side. But it does give us an interesting dilemma as far as Warner Media. Does this mean Warner Media is now going to get the Major League Soccer rights or the majority of those rights too? But then again, they're missing that Spanish language component too, which is such a huge important piece of the puzzle. So it's fascinating. I think I'm sure Major League Soccer is looking at this thinking, okay, Warner Media, you paid a lot of money for US soccer rights. If you want MLS, which is a beautiful partnership between the two of them, but, you mean, it makes sense to have MLS rights and US soccer rights, then go ahead and pay up and pay more than all of the other bidders.
Kartik, you had the opportunity to talk to U.S. Soccer President Cindy Parlow-Cohn, and she said that she wanted a broader vision for U.S. Soccer with this upcoming media rights deal, and now that we know that it is Warner Media, how does that kind of broaden U.S. Soccer's ambitions, and what can they do? You guys already talked about the wealth of streaming options and obviously the two channels that Warner Media has with TNT and TBS, so what kind of doors does this open for U.S. Soccer?
Well, I think it gives them an opportunity on both the broadcast side, the linear side, and the streaming side to probably have more bumper programming and have matches maybe at very natural start times. I mean, I think what we've seen with World Cup qualifying for the U.S. is if the match is on ESPN, the start time is dictated by what other events ESPN has. So that's actually affecting the competition too, like the actual on-pitch competition, because ESPN is showing a college basketball game at 9 or a Major League Baseball game at some point or whatever. So I think that was one of the things. I think one of the points President Parlow-Cohn wanted to make to me was the broader vision really involves showcasing U.S. Open Cup, showcasing She Believes Cup, which is a tournament U.S. soccer holds every year, obviously just concluded this year. Showcasing some of the youth national teams and maybe some of the youth competitions which the U.S. is involved in or sponsors. So it's beyond just the very generic basic way we think of USSF rights or the USSF, which is the men's and women's national teams. There's a much broader component to that. And U.S. Open Cup, I should mention, is one of the oldest cup competitions, domestic cup club competitions in the world. And by bundling those rights with the men's and national men's and women's national teams for Turner and for Warner Media, you have the potential of Turner Sports showing any number of club matches during the course of the year. The U.S. Open Cup runs from March until September. So that gives them some additional programming and gave U.S. soccer, I think, more in more of a attractive package, more inducement for potential media partners. And Warner Media have signed up on the list. And it's kind of a strange thing, just as we reflect that the U.S. Open Cup had been split off from U.S. soccer rights or from Soccer United Marketing's bundle with MLS in the past. And we've seen that tournament float around from Gold TV to, I want to say it was maybe on VN at one point, maybe not, but it's floated around ESPN Plus now, but it's never had a stable broadcast partner or been attached to the greater, broader vision for U.S. soccer and the potential promotion that comes with that.
But Kyle also, and Kartik too, it's important to point out here, though, too, that for these games, this package that Warner Media has signed with U.S. soccer, a lot of these games are friendlies. A lot of these games are not going to be World Cup qualifiers going into the 2026 World Cup, because although it's not official yet, I mean, the U.S. is going to be, you know, obviously one of the hosts, but automatically qualified. So that's the challenge that U.S. soccer has and Warner Media has, is how do you create a lot of excitement around friendlies? And from sources that both Kartik and I have, we understand that U.S. soccer is considering 2025 having a kind of a national team competition hosted in the U.S., probably picking some of the top countries from around the world to go ahead and come to the U.S., play a summer tournament. That'll be interesting, but it's relatively meaningless. That's the struggle I think that U.S. soccer and Warner Media has. The women's games seem to do well at the friendlies anyway, but from the U.S. men's side, I think it's really important that they get some really tough competition that they play against to make those games feel more meaningful.
Now, how does this tie into the World Cup? If this is an exclusive deal, Chris, for U.S. soccer with Warner Media, but obviously Fox has the World Cup rights. Is this just for World Cup how does it work? You know, is it friendlies only? Is it everything except for the actual World Cup tournament? Just explain it to someone that is kind of new to this whole streaming and rights deals, if you could.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons that we here at World Soccer Talk try to figure this all out, because it does become a lot more complicated, especially with streaming and all the different options out there. But for the World Cup rights, I mean, those will stay with Fox. So for the World Cup in 2022 and 26, they have the rights to that. For CONCACAF games, for the World Cup qualifiers, Paramount Plus and CBS Sports have the majority of those games, those qualifiers. And then for 2023 onwards, because the US is not going to be qualifying for the 2026 World Cup, then it ends up being friendlies. It ends up being... you mean whether it's made-up tournaments that they put together, or if it's for the women's World Cup team, again, friendlies for them. She Believes Cup is a good example of a friendly tournament. And I'm sure that maybe they're looking to create something on the men's side. And then US Open Cup is definitely competitive. It is more meaningful to kind of the purists in soccer, but needs a lot of help, needs a lot of rejuvenation to really kind of make that more of a tournament that people would even know about, to publicize it. It is complicated. There are so many different options viewing wise and in terms of the rights and who has the rights. Definitely from World Soccer Talk's point of view, that's something we always, in terms of the websites, the podcast, etc., try to kind of break down, because with all the schedules that we have, to make it as easy as possible to understand. So hopefully, Kyle, that helps a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And Kartik, I'll wrap up with this. You already mentioned how BR Live, Bleacher Report Live, had the Champions League rights not too long ago, and that really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. So with this Warner Media rights deal with U.S. soccer, how do they kind of grow from the experience that they had with the Champions League and BR Live in order to make a product that a lot of fans of U.S. soccer can enjoy thoroughly?
Yeah, I think that they're done trying to use mainstream properties to promote BR Live. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your perspective, UEFA Champions League rights, Europa League rights were acquired right as Warner Media was making that push for the BR Live platform. Now that's been folded effectively. And so you've got a situation now where I think they're going to be much more traditional and conservative in their coverage, much like you see, maybe conservative is the wrong word, but traditional would be maybe a better word. The way you see MLB and NBA covered on Turner Sports, they've recently acquired a piece of the NHL package. And that is a more traditional brand of coverage. And by the way, Liam McHugh, who did a lot of Premier League for NBC, is now at Turner and doing the NHL there. And it was presumed that he may have been the host of Warner Media, had acquired Premier League rights, which, as we know, as we've talked about on World Soccer Talk, they were very close to acquiring. One other note on the general broadcast landscape, the CONCACAF Nations League still exists. And Paramount Plus / CBS Sports have the rights currently. There is another rights cycle for that competition before 2026. And it is possible Warner Media will jump into the fray for that and try and take that from CBS, which would give it some synergies with this U.S. soccer package and also effectively give them more meaningful matches than just the friendlies that Chris talked about. So that's still on the landscape. That's something that's separate from the U.S. soccer package that will come up, I'm told, by CONCACAF very soon. And I think it's for the 2024, 2025. The calendar is kind of jumbled in my head. But there is a cycle of CONCACAF Nations League to come, which has not yet been given to CBS.
And then, Kyle, just to add to that, too, in terms of the question about BR Live, it's definitely a great question. There's a lot of kind of bad memories in a lot of soccer people's minds in regards to that. I think the big thing coming out of that, though, too, is back when Bleacher Report and Turner Sports did acquire the rights to the Champions League, they felt that they could do it better. They felt that they knew how to broadcast sports. They felt that they were kind of, they didn't need any help. They didn't need any guidance. They had it under control. So I think in many ways, I mean, going into this new deal in 2023, I hope that they really kind of think about it a little bit more closely and kind of think about, you mean, hiring the right talents, making the right decisions, and then also kind of trying to communicate with soccer fans and trying to get an understanding of what they like to watch and how they like the coverage to be, because I think it's important that they learn from their lessons in the past. It is a new company. It is a very different company than 2 years ago, when it was Bleacher Report and Turner Sports. And it, with this merger and acquisition, in the merger with Discovery, I think it's really important that they take a step back and really think about covering the world's game. And in this regards, US soccer and the US Open Cup, because there's a huge opportunity here.
Yeah, real quickly, guys, I think that that's a huge piece of this that fans need to recognize, is that the merger with Discovery, in spite of the fact in the U.S. they've been identified just with educational and documentary programming, nature, et cetera, they are in learning programming. They have a wealth of experience covering soccer in Europe and have covered it in a very traditional, a way that is pleasing to European audiences, which means that they know how to cover the sport. So I assume some of that production expertise and some of that experience will be built into the new coverage of the U.S. soccer package on Warner Media. And also, they have now several months, including a World Cup that is going to take place in Qatar in 2022, to ramp up their coverage and observe and learn from what in particular Fox does with that coverage of the World Cup in the fall of 2022, and make some decisions based on it, hiring decisions, production decisions, stylistic decisions, etc.
Right. Well, fingers crossed that it all works out for U.S. soccer and Warner Media with this new rights deal that, if I'm correct, begins in 2023, right, Chris?
That's right. Yeah. Gotcha. January 1st, 2023.
We'll do, Mark. I want to thank you all for watching. Make sure to head over to worldsoccertalk.com to stay updated with every single rights deal, especially this one with Warner Media and U.S. Soccer. And thank you for watching, Chris and Kartik. Thanks for talking, and looking forward to what you guys put out there about this rights deal.
Thank you.
Thanks.